You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Days Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today is a very interesting show. This is one for the records. It's a completely new show for us. The show is called Ficus, F-I-C-U-S, just like the plant. There's a plant called the ficus. It's a framework for understanding manipulation. We try to cover many of the emotional strategies that manipulators use to control you or me in a relationship.
Or me.
Or maybe you. And we're going to address them one by one, how to recognize them and how to disassemble them so they're not as impactful or powerful and have less control over your life. Ready to get started on this thing here?
Let's go.
Here we go. Let's get to the right slide. We'll start with this. So what is this thing, ficus? It's a acronym that stands for five categories of manipulators. This is a model that highlights key tactics that are used in manipulation. So we're looking at 12 different tactics in five categories. We recognize that these patterns will empower us to set boundaries, maintain independence, and resist manipulation by others towards us. Hopefully you don't use these against other people, but now you'll recognize them when they're used against you. By staying aware, we can protect our relationships and well-being, ensuring healthy, balanced interactions built upon trust and respect. What do you think?
That is interesting. So it's a technique that people can use?
It's more of a let's try to get these five categories memorized. And then when we memorize these categories, we'll be able to recognize as we learn more about these different categories. When you learn something, you then understand when somebody is using them towards you. And then you may react differently. You go, I know they're trying to get this emotion out of me, and I understand what they're doing. So now I can step aside from the manipulation or look how to approach it and counteract it.
Okay.
What do you think?
Good.
So let's start off with what is ficus? The five categories of the 12 tactics. Number one, fear and guilt exploitation. That's the F, fear and guilt exploitation. Manipulators use fear to try to get us to do things. I, illusion and reality distortion, otherwise known as inversion of reality. So they try to reverse what's really going on and make us think we're crazy. C, control of affection and attachment, pulling on our heartstrings, trying to manipulate us through affection. U, undermining our autonomy and independence. They want to make us dependent on them and make us not feel like we're capable of being by ourselves. In fact, isolating us. And then S is stirring emotional reactions starting arguments, starting problems, creating emotional challenges in the relationship in order to get some kind of behavior out of us. So that's the ficus. Again, fear, I, illusion, C, control, U, undermining our autonomy or independence, and then S, stirring up trouble, mm-hmm. Right? F, fear. We started with the F. Let's go into it. You ready to get into it? So why ficus? Mm-hmm. Why ficus?
It's the plant.
It's a plant.
Yeah, so what is the characteristic of the plant?
Characteristics of the ficus plant. It's a resilient plant that thrives in various conditions. Just as awareness of these tactics can help people develop emotional resilience against manipulation, our choice of the word ficus to represent these five categories of 12 tactics was purposeful. Mm-hmm. It's to build resiliency in us and our audience.
And also the manipulation characteristic maybe is some way to resist or survive in some moment.
Say that one more time. What's resistant? We're resistant to the manipulation. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, and manipulation maybe is a tool that somebody used to survive.
Yes, that is absolutely true. Is that okay. Sometimes manipulators may not actually be doing it because they want to harm us as much as they want to do it because that's their own way of survival.
There you go. It's like the plant. Yeah. So maybe plants have some kind of the
instinct
to survive. Because I have this plant and it's low water, no need a lot of sun, you know. So it's a really resistant plant.
So what we're trying to do is say we are the ficus. Knowing these manipulators, we become like the plant. We become resistant to these manipulators, to these tactics. So let's go into our first set of tactics. And here's the pictures. Each picture is an icon. The F, or fear, is someone scared to do anything, sitting there. The I, which is illusionary or inversion of reality, is where you're hearing things and seeing things that aren't really what's going on, and they're telling you it's true. The C is manipulating of our heartstrings. You've got like someone playing us like a puppet. U, undermining our autonomy, isolating us. It's basically putting us in a cage and keeping us away from friends, relatives, and others. And then S, stirring up problems and stirring up trouble. So those are the icons that have been created to represent these five categories of 12 tactics. Continuing on here. Ready for F?
Yes.
So there are three tactics that are considered fear and guilt exploitation. They're fear-mongering, emotional blackmail, and guilt-tripping. Now, again, being that these are tactics of categories, there's sometimes overlap between the different tactics and categories. But generally speaking, if we can identify them as tactics in categories, it will help us remember them.
Okay,
so you want to hear about a story on, let's talk about fear-mongering to start with. Let's give an example of it through a story. And I'm going to read through the story. Lena is a 35-year-old marketing manager with a strong support system of friends and family. However, her boyfriend Greg is controlling and wants to isolate her. He constantly bombards her with alarming news about kidnappings, robberies, and economic downturns. The world is falling apart, he says. You can't trust anyone. People will turn on you when things get bad. If you ever left me, you'd be completely alone and vulnerable. Right? Fear-mongering. Whenever Lena expresses a desire to go out with friends or make independent decisions, Greg reinforces these fears. You never know who really has your back, do you? Your so-called friends wouldn't help you if something happened. Over time, Lena begins doubting her own judgment and starts relying upon Greg for reassurance and safety. He breaks her down for his own power. Mm-hmm. That is fear-mongering. So why do we fall for this?
It's we're talking about survive.
They are manipulating some of our own internal survival instincts. And by creating fear in us, we go into survival mode. Mm-hmm. And let's look at why we fall for this. Here we go. Survival instinct. The human brain evolved to prioritize avoiding danger over seeking rewards. So avoid danger. Don't worry about the relationship being bad, but I want to avoid the danger of the world without this person. Amygdala hijack. So fear activates the amygdala, which overrides the rational prefrontal cortex, making clear thinking difficult. The emotions created through the chemical dumping from the amygdala will shut down the prefrontal cortex into making logical and smart decisions. Confirmation bias. The more fearful messages we receive, the more we seek and see evidence to confirm these fears. So we're naturally built to feed into these fears.
Yeah, yeah.
And we can be overwhelmed by somebody else casting doubts into our own safety.
And also some important I see sometimes the one of the part or maybe both part is not aware what happened. It's just natural scare, natural manipulation, and create all these right. scenarios.
Or somebody like really is worried and they mm-hmm. say to the other, I'm really, really worried. And maybe they're not trying to manipulate, but mm-hmm. as a result of how they are manipulating. So this could be a defense to an attack that's yeah. not even being targeted towards you. That mm-hmm. it's just a result of how that other person is thinking, but it's to help you avoid falling into these traps. So how to recognize and avoid.
Okay.
Pay attention if someone constantly exaggerates dangers and makes you feel like the only safe choice is staying with them. Get independent sources of information. Is the world truly as dangerous as they claim? Challenge fear-based thinking by asking, is this fear helping me make rational decisions or is it controlling me? So that's fear-mongering. That's one of the tactics within the first category. And then there's emotional blackmail.
Okay.
Emotional blackmail. Daniel and Mia have been dating for 2 years. Lately, Mia has felt emotionally drained and wants to break up. She doesn't want to be with Daniel anymore. When she finally tells Daniel she needs space, he falls into despair. I can't live without you, he sobs. If you leave, I might as well end it all. Overwhelmed with guilt, Mia retracts her statement, reassuring Daniel that she won't leave. The cycle repeats. Whenever Mia expresses unhappiness, Daniel hints of self-harm, ensuring that she stays not out of love, but out of the fear for his well-being. This is emotional blackmail.
Hmm.
You've heard people do this before, that they can't break up with their boyfriend or girlfriend because they're afraid the person isn't stable.
Yeah, it's a try to hold the person with you. Yeah.
And this happens with friends, this happens with family as well. It's just not in relationship, meaning it's not in, doesn't have to be a romantic relationship.
Yeah.
It can be like...
also mama and son.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So let's see why we fall for this. Empathy exploitation. As humans, we have empathy. Some of us have more than other. And remember, we're talking about psychopaths and sociopaths not having empathy. So they can use this type of stuff, and this is like a perfect example. They can use the exploitation of our empathy against us because it doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah.
So let's go into that. The human brain is wired for compassion, making it hard to walk away from someone in distress. Oxytocin bonding, emotional closeness, triggers oxytocin, which makes breaking ties feel painful. And guilt manipulation, we fear being responsible for another person's suffering. So these are things that are natural to us.
Hmm.
And you know, it is hard to break up with somebody. And it's...
Yeah, and more is that people is weak in this moment, you know, they have some issues. So people also, they say when the people waiting Christmas, you know, and break up in January because...
I don't, they're fragile during the holidays. A holiday is a terrible time to break up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's their birthday. We can't break up now. Oh, it's going to be the weekend. We can't break up now. You know, it was a tough week at work. We can't break up now. And then there you are 30 years later, still dating. Or still in the relationship.
Yeah.
So how do we recognize and how do we avoid this? If someone uses threats of harm to control you, it's emotional blackmail. No ifs, ands, or buts. Seek professional intervention if someone threatens self-harm. It's not your responsibility to fix them, but it is probably your responsibility to help them get therapy. You know, again, your empathy to help them. Set firm emotional boundaries and refuse to engage with manipulative threats. So you can't actually react. It's hard.
Yeah. And more when you have some relationship.
Definitely. When you have a relationship with the person, it's the deeper the relationship, the more difficult it is.
Yeah.
And the final tactic in the first set, in the F category, is guilt tripping, which is very similar to these others, but it's just a nuanced version of it. Emma's mother, Linda, frequently reminds her of the sacrifices she made. "I gave up everything for you," she said when Emma doesn't visit as often as she'd like. "After all I've done, I don't understand how you can be so ungrateful." Emma starts feeling guilty, even though she has her own responsibilities. She rearranges her life to please her mother, feeling resentful, but unable to say no. And people know that they can use this guilt trip.
Yeah.
There's lots of comedians and there are people who always talk about, oh, you know, I grew up and, you know, it was always a guilt trip. And it is a very highly used form of manipulation. Why do you think we fall victim to this? I'm going to guess it's very similar
to the before. Yeah.
To the before. Let's see what it is. Social reciprocity bias. Evolutionarily, humans survived by returning favors. So if someone says they did something for you, you now feel obligated to do something for them. In fact, the book by, and I'll remember the guy's name in a little bit, but it was the book on persuasion, called Cialdini, Robert Cialdini. He writes, and one of them is reciprocity, is that if you are in sin, Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about ficus, the way to identify manipulation through 5 categories and 12 tactics. We went through the F category, which is fear, and now we're looking at the I category, which is illusion and or inversion of reality. Let's look at what that actually shows up. Here you go. Illusion and reality distortion. These are methodologies that are known as like gaslighting and triangulation, where somebody, a manipulator, is trying to make it seem to us that what we think is real isn't, and some alternative version of reality is what the real thing is, and gets us questioning our own sanity. Like, oh, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let's start with gaslighting. So, gaslighting. Alex and Jordan have been together for a year. Lately, Jordan has noticed inconsistency in Alex's stories. He says he was working late, but a friend saw him out at a bar. When confronted, Alex laughs, "You're crazy. That never happened. You always make things up." Over time, Jordan starts doubting his own memory and becomes increasingly dependent on Alex's version of reality, making you question your own sanity. So that's what a manipulator does in gaslighting. What you're thinking can't be true. Oh, come on. You're making it up. They try to make you to be the...
If you are easy to manipulate because somebody recognize what I say.
Mm.
No, go to the trap.
No. I think you went to the trap.
Yes, I got
it. See, look. Did it. I manipulated Lizette. So why do we fall victim for this? Again, cognitive dissonance. The brain struggles to reconcile conflicting realities, the reality of what they're actually seeing versus what someone's telling them. Even if someone's telling them a lie repeatedly, they start thinking, well, maybe what I'm thinking isn't what's actually happening because someone's telling them something else is happening. Long-term prefrontal cortex suppression. Repeated gaslighting reduces confidence in one's own reasoning. I read that, and we'll have to talk about that. Attachment dependence. We tend to trust those closest to us over our own perceptions in many cases. So sometimes we doubt our own judgment. And the more gaslighting somebody does, the more we start doubting our own sense of reality, and we may start relying more upon that person, especially if our own self-confidence is reduced.
Mm.
So how do we recognize and avoid? Oh, this is a good one. Keep a written record of events to track inconsistencies. Just don't try to do it from memory alone, because they'll say, oh, you know your memory, right? They'll make up stuff about your memory. But if you have it written down and you have your notes and you can go back and check, it not only gives you something to rely upon, but it can reinforce your own sense of memory, which can give you more confidence. If you constantly feel confused and second-guessing yourself, something is wrong. Trust your instincts over a manipulator's rewriting of reality. So you need to trust your own instincts. So triangulation is a different thing. It's kind of like gaslighting in a way. It's changing the reality. We can go through this story. Rachel has always felt confident in her relationships until she met Chris. At first, he was charming and affectionate, but soon he began mentioning his ex, Sarah, in ways that made Rachel feel inadequate. Sarah never complained that way, the way you do. If Rachel voiced concerns, Chris would sigh and say, "Ah, Sarah just understood me better than you." Rachel began altering her behavior, trying to be more like Sarah, suppressing her own feelings to avoid criticism. She started dressing differently, adjusting her opinions, and even forcing herself to be like, or do things, sorry, to do things that she never enjoyed. All in a silent competition with this woman who was no longer in Chris's life. One evening, she overheard Chris telling a friend, "Rachel's great, but sometimes I miss how easy things were with Sarah." In that moment, she realized she was being manipulated into chasing his approval by competing with a ghost. So triangulation is putting you up against a false model or a false expectation.
Hmm.
And then you are in competition.
Yeah.
Right? And I think we talked about, like, even if you're at the beginning of a dating with somebody and you find out they're dating someone else also, that's triangulation. They are using that other person to manipulate you and your feelings, because now, well, I want them to be with me, not with that person, so I'm going to change my behavior in an unnatural way in order to try to win time with that person, because I'm competing against this other person that may not even exist.
Hmm. Or maybe exists.
Or maybe exists.
Yeah.
Could be. It could be either. So why do we fall victim? Social comparison bias. We naturally compare ourselves, especially when a partner sets up an unspoken competition. Dopamine dependency, the fear of losing affection, makes us crave validation from the person diminishing us. Unfortunately, our brain dumps dopamine into or we get dopamine dumps in our brain when we're feeling good and feeling loved. And when we feel that being challenged or taken away, we get a craving for it, which starts us to want to do the behavior that will get us that dopamine again. Fear of rejection. We believe if we change enough, we can win their love. And then finally, how to recognize and avoid. If your partner frequently compares you to an ex, they may be trying to manipulate your self-worth. Your value isn't measured against past relationships. Don't let somebody make you feel like you need to compete. Address it directly. If you still idolize Sarah, why aren't you with her? Observe their reaction. A healthy partner won't use past relationships to control you. That makes sense, doesn't
it?
Now, I know growing up, sometimes your parents do that to you. Why can't you be more like Timmy? Why can't you be more like Joni? You know, She's getting all A's in her classes. Oh, she's the best athlete. And you get compared against this third person who doesn't even live in your family. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm saying that's experience growing up as a child, you know? Or you get compared against a brother, compared against a sister or a cousin or something. And that is the same thing as triangulation. And you can say, hey, why are you manipulating me? You know, little competition is good. It could be, but it can be unhealthy also.
Yeah, it's a little toxic.
It's a little toxic. That was I. That's the illusion that we are done with that subject. And when we come back, we're going to go into C, which is control of our heartstrings. When we get back here on 90 Day Soulmate. Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. She got her computer and started to plan and created a process to find her man. Soon she went on a perfect date. And then she knew it must be fate. In just 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate. We're talking about ficus. F-I-C-U-S. It is five categories of 12 tactics of manipulation. They're the tactics manipulators use to get you to do what they want you to do and manipulate your behavior where you may not be actually recognizing what they're trying to do, or more, maybe you just feel bad. But we're hopefully getting ourselves and you to recognize these tactics so we can avoid them. We are now to the C of ficus.
Mm-hmm.
The C is control of affection and attachment. These are things such as love bombing, over the top shows of love, right? Expressions of love, too much. And then all of a sudden, silent treatment. You know, so giving and taking away affection. Manipulative flattery, over-the-top manipulation of how great you are, and then potentially a comparison to, you know, I thought you were that great, but obviously you're not because now you're like this. It's the over-the-top flattery to make you feel really good, and then pulling it back away to make you feel like you're missing it.
Yeah.
So C, control of affection and attachment, is using our heartstrings. Using our innate chemistry of wanting to have love against us.
Mm-hmm.
Want to hear a story of love bombing?
Yeah.
When Olivia meets Ryan, he sweeps her off her feet. He texts her the first thing in the morning and right before bed, leaving little room for doubt about his feelings. Lavish dates, surprise gifts, and dramatic declarations. I've never loved anyone this fast. It makes her feel like she's the center of his world. But just as she starts to trust his love, things shift. Ryan suddenly becomes distant. His affectionate texts stop. And when Olivia asks if something is wrong, he sighs, "You're too needy." Soon, every interaction feels like she's chasing the person that he used to be. We were just watching a show yesterday where someone said, all my best relationships, they started really fast. Like, all of them? How many of these best relationships did you have? And if they were so good and they started so fast, where did they end up? It almost sounds like the opposite. All the best exciting relationships, maybe, because the lust part of the relationship go fast, but then they just dwindle out and walk away.
I'll consider it audit. All the areas in the relationship.
Exactly. So let's look at why we fall for stuff like this. Dopamine surge, and we talk about that in just the attraction. We get excessive attention will trigger an addictive reward response. We'll get dopamine coming out of our brain, into our brain, with this excessive attention. Oxytocin bonding, this intense affection, creates emotional dependence. We become literally drug dependent on the love bombing. Intermittent reinforcement, the unpredictability keeps us chasing approval. It's like, here's some dopamine, I'll take it away. Here's some oxytocin, oh, I'm gonna take it away. And we start feeling those cycles and we want it, we crave it. And it is like a drug.
Yeah.
And manipulators know that. So we need to beware of relationships that escalate too quickly. Observe if affection is followed by withdrawal or control. Give the relationship time to develop naturally. Those are things you should do. If the relationship seems to be moving really fast at the beginning, it 99% of the time can't keep up. If it's developing strong and slow, it actually should get better over time. It can be wonderful at the beginning, but it shouldn't start to fade away and not be as wonderful in the future.
I listen to one psychology woman mentioned that you need to wait 7 dating before you go to bed with the person.
Oh.
So some people say, I am number 5, can't wait. Yeah. Yeah, so say that you need to really know the person before you.
Yeah, somebody just posted that relationships, sex doesn't start a relationship. It can be part of a relationship, but the sex part, which is the chemical dump, the chemistry between two people, it's the lust. It can add to the relationship, but it can't make a relationship where none exists.
Hey, maybe some people do like that, so they don't want to have a relationship. They
just want to have a sex. If that's what you want to do.
Yeah, okay. That's its other way, yeah.
Fine. You know what? I'm going to give you the silent treatment now. Oh, wait a minute. That's what we're talking about next, the silent treatment. Another one for controlling our heartstrings. Jake and Sarah have been dating for a year. Whenever Jake tries to talk about something that bothers him, whether it's feeling unappreciated or needing more support, Sarah shuts down. Instead of responding, she goes silent for days, leaving him in an emotional void. At first, he tries harder, apologizing for things he didn't do just to restore peace. Over time, he learns to stay quiet. The fear of being completely ignored outweighs his own needs, and Sarah never has to address the issue. So silence, non-communication, is also a form of manipulation. You gonna say anything? Okay, fine. Okay. So why do we fall for this? Rejection triggers pain centers. When we aren't talking to the other person, or that person goes silent on us, we actually treat it like physical pain. The emotional rejection of withdrawal is actually felt like pain. Dopamine withdrawal, the sudden absence of the affection, creates distress as we're not getting our dopamine dump. Fear of abandonment, we comply to restore connection. So we're like, what do? How do I get back? And it can drive us crazy. It's an emotional manipulation. How to recognize and avoid it. If silence is used as punishment, it is manipulation. Refuse to chase for attention. Set boundaries. I won't engage if this is how conflicts are handled. And you know, if it's early in a relationship, you just might say, I can't have a relationship if this is how you avoid conflict.
Yeah.
And how you handle it. How about flattery? We talked about the flattery, manipulative flattery.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example. Alex looks deep into Mia's eyes and says, you're the only one who truly understands me. No one else gets me like you do. She feels so special and valued, like she's the missing piece to his life. But later, when Mia tries to set a boundary, Alex turns his words into a weapon. I thought you were different. I guess I was wrong. Suddenly, the very praise that once felt like a bond now feels like a leash. making her question whether she's being unreasonable for standing her ground. I don't get the over-the-top flattery, and it's used against me now. I thought you were special. You're not special.
Yeah.
You know, that's terrible. Alex, I don't like Alex. So why do we fall? Oh, well, the flattery, even though we can know flattery's not true, but we still like it. We get this ego boost. It complements and activates reward centers. Bonding instinct. We trust those who admire us. It helps us with bonding. Obligation effect. Overpraising creates a subconscious debt. It's almost like the reciprocity piece. If I highly praise you, you'll feel like you have to do something for me. So it is reciprocity as well. So I think we've recognized it a little bit there. Notice if the flattery is followed by demands. Oh my gosh, you're the most wonderful person ever. Da, 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 da. Can I get an extra piece of cake? All right, so that's not so bad. Genuine praise isn't used as leverage. So if a demand follows the praise, that's manipulation. If it's just an open-ended praise and you're wonderful and so good to be with you, hey, that might not be bad. Keep self-worth independent of external validation.
Yeah.
There ends our C category of ficus. The five categories of the 12 manipulators, those tactics that manipulators use to manipulate. Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about manipulation. Five categories, 12 tactics that manipulators use. We're talking now about you, the you of ficus, F-I-C-U-S, you undermining autonomy and independence through isolation and playing the victim, keeping us in our cage of emotional isolation. So let's see some of the things that fall in this category. Let's see what isolation is. Isolation. Back to Mia. We use Mia a lot here, huh? She's involved in all these things. Mia has always been close with her friends, but ever since when she started dating Josh, things have changed. At first, it's subtle. Josh sighs whenever she mentions a girl's night out. I just miss you when you're gone, he says so sweetly. Then it escalates. He insists her friends really don't care about her. I'm the only one who's always there for you, Mia. Eventually, she finds herself declining invitations of her friends, reassuring Josh that he's enough. But at some time, she realizes how isolated she's become. And Josh has become her entire world, just as he planned, separating you from your friends, separating you from your family, maybe separating you from spending time after work with your work pals. They want to control every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. By isolating you from your friends. And then they by isolating you, you then become dependent on them. That's at least their thought. Why does this work? It's slow and gradual control. It starts as a concern, but becomes control that's disguised as love. Dependency formation. Without external support, emotional reliance deepens on that person. Fear of conflict. Confronting isolation feels like betraying the relationship. So, you know, you want to believe that that person has your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
So if they say, hey, listen, I really love you. I don't think your friends love you. I don't think they have your best interest. They just want to use you because you're really fun to be with, and you always pay for dinner. You always chip in. You always drive.
Hmm.
You know, and I'm by myself, and you know, you should be with me.
Yeah, you know? Create some kind of also using the comment in the past explanation about create fictitious, illusional situation.
Yeah. So the, it is also, that's why it's mm-hmm. it is it's kind connect. Of like gaslighting in a way. It's kind, mm-hmm. And it's also putting that third thing against you, that your friends don't like you, I do, is like the opposite. Rather than you're competing, it's they're making you feel guilty mm-hmm. for hanging out with your friends, and that your friends don't want to be with you, and I want to be with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is using, it's creating an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
How to recognize and avoid? Be cautious if your partner discourages friendships. Independence is essential in healthy relationships. We also talk about two people when they're together, they actually help each other become stronger in whatever that independent thing is that person wants. If your partner wants to study something that you don't want to study, support them and have them do it. That the stronger each of you become, the more strength you have together.
Yeah.
We do talk about common goals a lot, mm-hmm. and that's important, but also not changing everything in order to satisfy the other person.
Yeah.
Right. What else do we have here on this? So playing the victim. So this is another thing the manipulator does. Rachel's boyfriend, Tyler, has always had an excuse. If he loses his job, it's because his boss had it out for him. If he gets into an argument, it's because everyone is against me. Whenever Rachel points out something hurtful, he's done. He flips the script. You know, I've been under so much stress. How could he even bring this up right now? Guilt-ridden, Rachel constantly defends him, overlooking his harmful behaviors because he's too busy protecting him. Actually, she's too busy protecting him from the world. So she has become a believer of his victimhood. Oh, he always has it tough. They're always out to get him. The people at work don't like him. You know, so then she defends his problems.
Mm.
Instead of saying, hey, really, maybe the problem is him, not, you know, he's not the victim. Maybe he's creating all these problems at work where people don't like him.
Oh, he's again illusion.
Illusion, creating illusions. Mm. So why do we fall victim for the, We want to support those who we love, even at our own expense. This is part of empathy. We talked about this early on, that humans have empathy, and people use empathy against us. Guilt manipulation. Their suffering makes us feel responsible. And then we also have the rescue instinct. We believe our love can fix them. So how to recognize and avoid? If someone never takes responsibility, it's a red flag. Help without enabling. You can always help somebody, but don't enable them to be the victim. Hey, you know what? I'll take care of this time. I'll take care of this. No, you say, hey, you should take care of it. If you need my help, let me know.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it for you. Right? So that is the what we're calling it, the undermining the our autonomy. It's making, it could be isolating us, it could be making them the victim. We become dependent on them. We have to help them, and the manipulator will try to remove our autonomy. They don't want us to have our own life, where somebody who's deeply supportive of a relationship will say, I want you to have your own life, and I want to have your own life, you to be happy and excited to be with me when we're together.
Really?
Yes, that's how it is. And we come back, we're going to get into the S, the final part of the five categories of the 12 manipulators, when we come back. Victoria experiences the past, present, and future while sleeping. Will she be able to decipher the mystery of the symbols, messages, and images of her dreams before it is too late? Discover the lives she lives while Victoria dreams. Welcome back, and welcome to the fifth segment of 90 Day Soulmate on the five categories of the 12 tactics of manipulators. S, we're into S of Ficus, F-I-C-U-S. S is stirring emotional reactions, starting problems, starting arguments, provoking emotional reactions, shifting blame. Let's look at a couple of stories on that. Here goes Lisa. Lisa works hard to stay professional, but her boss, Greg, seems determined to push her buttons. He makes snide comments, dismisses her ideas, and then smirks when she starts to get frustrated. Finally, after weeks of being undermined, she snaps back. Greg leans back in his armchair with his arms crossed and shakes his head. "Wow, you're really emotional. Maybe you're not cut out for this." Suddenly, Lisa isn't the victim. She's the problem. Wow. Mm-hmm. Create a problem and tell the person it's their problem.
Yeah.
Make a problem and then say it's the other person's problem. So why do we fall victim for people who provoke emotional reactions? The emotional hijacking. Manipulators trigger anger to discredit us. Also, we'll talk about this in a second. Hold on. Loss of credibility. Outbursts reinforce their false narrative. Power plays. If we react, they gain control. Psychopaths do this. They don't have the emotion. They know we have the emotion. We have empathy. We get angry and they control their anger and manipulate. We get angry. It shuts down our prefrontal cortex. And now we have an outburst that they want us to show others that we're out of control. And then we are the problem, even though they created the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, stay calmed and collective and don't react emotionally to baiting. If you know somebody is there to get you angry all the time, you can always engage. But if you know the engaging is for you a anger-inducing emotional ride, what is that called? When you go to the
park
and you go on that roller coaster. It's an emotional roller coaster ride. If you know for you it's an emotional roller coaster ride, and for them it's just a game, it's fun. Don't get into that argument, because you'll get them every time to start up an argument with you because they find it fun to get you upset. And then finally, what else do we have here? Shifting blame. How do we shift blame? Nick cheats on Sarah, but instead of taking responsibility, he turns it around and says, "If you trusted me more, this wouldn't have happened." He says, "You were always questioning me, making me feel like a bad guy. I felt pushed away. I had no other choice other than to cheat. You made me cheat. It's your fault."
Of course. So what is the problem?
And then, of course, Sarah is like, "Well, maybe I did accuse him." And then she starts questioning her own, and this is almost like gaslighting too, right?
Yeah.
So this is, now she's questioning her own thought, her own memory of what happened. Maybe I did push him over the line. So why do we fall for it? Gaslighting confusion. Oh, it is like gaslighting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Twisting reality makes us question our perception. We have a desire to fix things. We want to repair the relationship, even at our expense. Emotional investment. The more we're invested, the harder it is to walk away. Especially when someone made us think it's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we know it's not our fault. Manipulators twist accountability. Stick to facts, not to emotions. It's so hard to do that when you're in a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Because the relationship means there is a heart string that attaches you to them. And when there is a struggle, you feel it. You feel it being pulled, and it's hard to stick with the facts.
Yeah.
But we need to take a step back, because if we're in a relationship with a manipulator, typically they may be somebody less emotional than us. They may be knowing exactly what they're doing and not caring that we feel emotional about it.
Yeah.
And they may not be feeling emotional about it, even though they say they are. That's the odd thing, huh? So let's talk about what we just did today. We talked about FICUS. FICUS being a framework for understanding manipulation. The FICUS model highlights key tactics used in manipulation. Recognizing these patterns, as we talked about today, empowers us to set boundaries, maintain independence, and resist manipulation. By staying aware, we can protect our relationships and well-being, ensuring healthy, balanced interactions built on trust and respect. Again, the model is FICUS, fear, guilt, exploitation. That's the F, fear and guilt, exploitation. I, illusion and inversion of reality, reality distortion. C, control of affection and attachment, manipulating our heartstrings. You, undermining autonomy and independence, isolating us from our friends. And S, stirring and pushing emotional reactions, because through reactions, they can control our behavior. Because, again, we would be more emotional than them, especially if they have psychopath or sociopath or narcissistic behavioral tendencies. And finally, if I can get to the last slide here, we appreciate you watching 90 Day Soulmate today and talking about FICUS, a framework for understanding manipulation, brought to you by us, Lizette.
And Jen.
Have a great week.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.